This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The serious conversations around global warming are no longer if we're experiencing it or when we'll feel its effects, but what do we do now to adapt and mitigate the misery and danger we're already experiencing? We've had several such conversations on this program in the past few years about how-to guides for survival, urban heat islands, and making our houses more climate-ready. Now, several of these topics are being explored in the ongoing annual Illinois Public Media documentary series, State of Change. The latest episode specifically explores how well Black and Latino communities are prepared for climate change. Let's listen to a clip from the introduction. I will say this is a bit on the longer side, but I think it gives a good flavor of the many different topics being covered in this installment.
In 2023, the climate crisis became chaotic.
There's a tornado on the west side of Champaign right now.
Winter tornadoes in central Illinois.
Fields to the west lack out conditions.
A dust storm and deadly pileup near Springfield. A derecho crosses Illinois with hurricane-force winds, cutting power to thousands for nearly a week. Later, history-making heat.
And it's now official. This summer is the hottest on record globally by a huge margin.
Earlier today, it felt like 120. That's the hottest heat index ever recorded history for Chicago.
Higher temperatures are taking a toll on people as well as the planet.
It feels like as if you were cooking, you know, opening the oven and then that heat comes.
It's just a lot easier to get physically exhausted and tired.
There are rising concerns about flooding in a community surrounded by Superfund sites.
Because if the water supply gets poisoned, everyone who gets their water from Lake Michigan along this shoreline down into Chicago, Indiana, Wisconsin, across the lake to Michigan, guess what? Everybody's water supply is going to be poisoned.
But Illinoisans are taking action, building sustainable homes that could one day be affordable for all.
It is an energy net zero home, which means that on a year-by-year basis, it produces more energy than it uses.
Transforming neighborhoods to add green space and trees.
This is my life, and making sure that it's passed on to the next generation.
Frankly, everyone has a right to clean air, clean water, clean land.
From Illinois Public Media, this is State of Change.
All right, State of Change premieres 7:30 this Thursday night on WILL-TV, PBS in Central Illinois. It'll also be on YouTube and the PBS app, and it typically airs on other PBS stations around Illinois, although a bit later in the year. Check your local listings for that. Joining us now to talk more about State of Change is the program's host and producer, Tanisha Spain. She's a reporter and presenter with our home station, Illinois Public Media, and an occasional guest host of this program. Tanisha, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian. Always a pleasure.
So what inspired the focus of this year's program?
You know, last year when we were wrapping up, you know how as a reporter, when you're in the middle of one story, you're already kind of gathering for the next one. And this
wheel
is one of those elements that I saw throughout our stories last year was, okay, we've got all these pledges, we've got all these plans, but what does that look like for people of color? What does that look like for Black and brown minority communities? Is this truly equitable? Is this truly attainable? And so that was the question that we started with. And we tried to answer this year in the series from several different directions.
You know, I've often had this conversation with students and producers and others, like, you have a great idea for a topic. Now, how do we make it a story? How do we actually take a concept and turn it into, in your case, a half-hour television special? Talk us through some of your process about that. You have an idea. How do you actually figure out the people to talk to, where to go? Because you travel all over the state for this.
We do. And a lot of it is just honestly keeping an ear to the ground. You know, being part of your community is such a huge part of working in public media. And so you get wind of these stories. You know the people who are working to revitalize a lot, or, you know, word of mouth gets around about a new push to plant trees in this community. So a lot of it is just boots on the ground work. But you can find out so much, you know, any topic that you're looking for that's climate change related. I mean, there's just a wealth of information of what communities are struggling, what communities are setting fantastic examples of what to do. So the research part of it can be overwhelming because it's hard to wrap your arms around. So we just did our best and chose you know, a few ideas that we could really drill down into, sink our teeth into, and get some questions answered.
So as we mentioned, this year's episode focuses on Black and Latino communities. And I know you were intentional, along with our mutual boss, the Director of News and Public Affairs, Reginald Hardwick, in making sure that the expert voices you included in this program are as diverse as the communities you're reporting on. It may seem self-evident to us, but talk about why that's important to the way you're telling these stories.
Sure, sure. And I don't want to speak for Reginald, but we all know that he is a champion for diversity. And so he really, you know, pushes me professionally to always be looking through that lens of finding all of the characters, you know, not just going to a safe option or a safe bet. And that representation, and, you know, I can speak to this personally. Representation really, really matters. And so, you know, like with Dr. Akin Sinola, if you see an African scientist talking about climate change on TV as a child or as a youth, you know, that's inspiring, because we don't often see ourselves represented in those roles. So in the Waukegan story, for example, you've got Latino activists talking about, you know, wanting clean water. You've got Black scientists talking. You've got an Indian scientist talking about planting more trees. So it's just, it's a really fantastic way for all of us to see ourselves in this story.
Yeah, that very old public media idea of not talking about people, but talking with people about what
Absolutely.
They're experiencing. Yeah. All right, you explore a number of issues in this special. I thought we could talk through a few of them. And one of them is urban heat islands. We're going to have another clip lined up, and we can actually hear UIC, University of Illinois Chicago, Professor Akintemide Akintsinola, who you just mentioned a moment ago. He's in this clip. Let's roll tape.
The heat of the day is literally trapped and held by buildings, pavement, and other man-made surfaces.
And studies have shown that when you look at the difference between the urban city and the surrounding rural environment, the temperature difference can reach maybe 10 degrees Celsius.
Scientists and journalists who are part of the organization Climate Central studied Chicagoland. Take a look at this map. To the left, plenty of green space in cities like Downers Grove and Naperville. But continue east into Chicago, and it literally feels 9 degrees warmer than the suburbs, especially in the Loop. On the hottest day of 2023, people say you could really feel it.
It's just a lot easier to get physically exhausted and tired and dehydrated.
I lived down in Texas for like 6 or 7 years, so I knew hot down there, but not like this. This was, I think I went out to the beach yesterday. I think I almost had heat stroke when I came back.
Yeah, such great sort of real people, as we sometimes say, maybe questionably in the news business, voices in this story. But that's a sidebar. But, you know, this built environment. So that was a clip on these. One of the focuses of these urban heat islands. It seems so inevitable where we live. What are people doing about that?
Well, for starters, suffering, to be quite honest with you. You know, just imagine, you know, that being the difference between, you know, 100 degrees in the burbs and 110 in the city. And with that comes an entire onslaught of a lack of resources. You know, it just kind of starts with where you live geographically and then what that sort of means. So now the trick is to really dig into these communities and find out what went wrong. Is it as simple as planting trees? Is it as simple as bringing back community gardens? You know, we're seeing lots of asthma. There are just so many things that are connected with this that, you know, physicians and the entire scientific community is, I feel like, probably trying to drink out. It's like drinking out of a fire hose, honestly.
One of the other aspects of climate change and readiness you looked at is sustainable home design. And you focused on a residence that's energy neutral. Net zero is the term of art people use. It generates more power than it consumes. How is a net zero home different from a regular energy guzzling house in which many of us live now?
So this house was really, really cool. We got to go into Renew. It's in Rantoul. And when we first visited earlier in the spring, it was really just a shell. And so they kind of walked us through just the craftsmanship and just the way that literally the way that they positioned the house on the lot is to maximize sunlight in the summer, spring, winter months. The way they've got the windows put in is to capture heat. Every single thing in that house was very thoughtfully chosen to be either, you know, efficient or zero or actually net positive. But they've got, you know, tankless water heaters. Each room has its own thermostat. There's a car charging station connected to the residence. The outside is bamboo, and there's a huge array of solar panels on the roof that will ultimately power the home. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, this is a state-of-the-art green home. But the problem with that is, you know, and we're taking a look at the affordability of this, the application
premium
of this.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, a two-bedroom starter home is going to run you over $300,000. So what does that look like for communities of color, minority communities?
And this house is unique and interesting because it was a Habitat home, right? This is not common. Yeah.
Yes. They chose this project. And it was so funny because the homeowners, we met them a couple of weeks ago. And when they found out that they were selected for this home, they were so excited. But on the back end of it, it took 2 years to build instead of one, but they did, you know, they totally got like the Jetsons house.
Yeah. Like one of the people is like, there was I don't know if this is the phrase she used, but like there was a learning curve with some of these features.
Exactly.
Yeah. One, we're coming to the end of our time together. You also spoke with Alex Sierra, who's a Park District trustee in Peoria, who's working on reforesting the South Side, which if people aren't familiar is predominantly Black. And he says it's a means of not just creating more green spaces, but potentially reducing crime and improving life in general. How does he draw out those connections?
You know, the research just really shows that there is a strong correlation between plants in the ground and better mental well-being, more stability in a community, lower crime rates. Children are outside recreating more, neighbors speak to each other more. So he has taken all of that body of research and has decided that that's the path that they're going to forge in Peoria. And what was really incredible about him is he lives and works there. He literally stood in the field and pointed to his old neighborhood. So this is him giving back. This is him wanting to make things better. And I loved that it was personal because that's when you know, it means something to you.
State of Change is going to be this Thursday night. What do you hope people take away from the 2023 installment of your series?
I would love for the disparities to be better recognized so that we can achieve equity. And I also would love for more people of color to see themselves in climate change and become part of this and see themselves as a piece of the solution.
All right. Once again, State of Change premieres 7:30 this Thursday night on WILL-TV. I can say the call letters correctly of my own station. WILL-TV, PBS in Central Illinois. It'll also be on YouTube and the PBS app. Tanisha Spain is the host and producer of the program. Thanks so much for being with us to talk about it today on the 21st Show.
Always a pleasure. Always. Thank you.
We love hearing what you think about what we've been talking about on the program, whether it's today or any show in the recent past. If you liked it, if you didn't like it, you think we got something wrong, or maybe we got something right, leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121. You can also email talk@21stshow.org and all the ways to contact us. You can sign up for our text messaging group. Again, email, voicemail, social media. It's all on our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also find a link to subscribe to our podcasts or just look us up on Apple or Spotify by searching for The 21st Show. That's The 21st Show. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking with author Luis Alberto Urrea, who's the author of many books, more than a dozen books. He was a Pulitzer Prize finalist. He has had many other awards. His latest is called Goodnight, Irene. He's going to be doing an event in Central Illinois soon. He's also on the faculty at the University of Illinois in Chicago. We're going to be speaking with him tomorrow on the program. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.